Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Kirsten Wyatt.
Brian.
Welcome to Pittsburgh. Is this your first time in town?
No. I actually grew up in West Virginia.
You're kidding.
Like an hour, 45 minutes away in Clarksburg. So Pittsburgh's where we would go for our culture.
That's correct.
No. It's true.
So how does one get from West Virginia to Broadway as you have so successfully done?
Very carefully.
Yes.
No. You know, I was really fortunate. Cheers, by the way.
Cheers.
Thank you.
They make them good here at the Public, don't they?
Yes, the pub at the Public.
Yes.
Work. It will give you a gin martini. I grew up in West Virginia. Both my parents are music teachers, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and musicians. My mom is a percussionist. My dad is a saxophone player. So music was always in our lives, and I always just started doing the musical theater. Like, I played a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz. I made people laugh. I was hooked.
Yeah, we've all got to pay our dues.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, we had a high school theater program. I did all of that. And I had a very influential conversation with my father where he encouraged me to go for it if I was going to go for it. So I went to school for musical theater. And I moved to New York, and bada bing, bada boom, here we are.
Indeed. So
yes.
What do you consider your first big break?
I don't think it's happened yet.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
But I mean, you've had a lot of success, I would say.
I have, you know, of course. Self-deprecation is my safety net.
It keeps you humble.
It keeps you moving.
I understand. Yes, I do.
My very first Broadway show was, I stood by. Do you know what a standby is?
Is that people? Somebody like drops dead, they say, hey, you're on.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. My job, because it was a big job, was to stand by for the two female leads in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. In the year, I think it was 2000, maybe 1999, I don't remember. And that's why I drink.
It's just the memory.
And,
it's
yes,
medicinal,
it's
really as I
good,
always
yeah.
say. Yeah.
So I was the female standby, and if one of the leads got sick, I would go on. So that was, I stood by for Kristen Chenoweth, which was super cool.
Did you ever get to go on for her?
I went on, yeah.
Oh,
it
all
was
right.
awesome. In fact, do you want to hear my Broadway debut story?
Of course I do.
Okay, so I'm the standby, right? I get the call about a half an hour before the show, and you have to understand, like, I have to set the scene, and that Kristen was like the talk of New York City at that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She was about to win her Tony Award.
The it girl.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
She was. I mean, she still is. She's a beautiful, amazing person. But she got ill like right at half hour, and so they were like, "You're on," and I'm like, "Holy! How can I swear?"
Oh,
holy
yeah.
Shitballs.
Absolutely.
And so I, and so you're like getting ready. You don't really have time to think, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I come down, and you know, when you're standby, it's not like everybody knows you're going on. So, you know, nobody was in the audience that I knew, just, you know, the people who have paid for a ticket to see Kristen Chenoweth. And so I came down the stairs of the Ambassador Theater, and the crew and my entire cast was there, and they applauded for me. It was so special.
Wow.
It made me feel so good. And they made this circle around me, and they were like, "You're going to do it. Welcome to Broadway. So exciting." And it was at that time that the stage manager had to make an announcement in the house to say that I was on, right? Because they didn't have time to stuff the program. So I literally hear, "Ladies and gentlemen, at this performance of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the role usually played by Kristen Chenoweth will be played by Kirsten Wyatt." And the entire audience went,
Welcome to Broadway.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to Broadway. This is why I drink.
Now, do you do a good Kristen Chenoweth impersonation?
I don't know. I don't.
She has a very distinct style.
Yes,
I think
yes,
it is a lot
does.
Of like, was there any pressure
it's
for
so
you to
individual.
Sort of
Duplicate?
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't. It was kind of amazing. And, you know, I was so young at the time, I didn't sort of understand the ginormousity of it all. But my stage manager in particular always encouraged me. He was like, you don't have to do what she does. And in fact, Roger Bart, who was playing Snoopy, mm-hmm. they did a lot of stuff together, Sally and Snoopy. And he was so cool because he said, you know, let's do our own thing. Let's make up our own things. Mm-hmm. And so he took time and we did that. And it was a really incredible learning experience and a really great understudy standby experience. It was pretty cool.
Good story.
I know. I'm sorry. Taking up all your time.
And Miss Chenoweth's doing okay now.
Yeah, she's fine. She's doing all right.
Glad to hear she recovered. So what's going on Broadway these days? Any good gossip? What's the buzz?
What's the buzz? Missy Moo, Bette Midler's coming to Broadway.
I read that today. Bette Midler is going to be Dolly Levi in Hello, Dolly.
I'm so pissed. I'm a little long in the tooth for, what's her name? Minnie Fay.
You would be great. Have you played the part
no.
before? Oh, my gosh.
I'm about, you know.
I would buy it.
Would you buy it from far away?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say that. I guess that's maybe like, no, but you can sell it.
Sure.
You know, it really is a credit to your acting prowess.
I can actually age backwards. Me and Benjamin Button.
It's a compliment, yeah. And you know, the other thing I read today, too, is that Cats is coming back.
Cats.
Now, is that a show that has made its way to your resume?
Hell no, Brian. Who am I going to be in Cats?
Well, that's an excellent question, and that's what I would like to ask you. Who would you be in Cats if we cast Kirsten Wyatt in Cats? Which cat would she be?
I think I'd like to be McCavity.
That's a good one.
Yeah. He's sort of stealthy and just sort of like peeks in at places, you know.
And you know, maybe about 10 years ago I would have agreed with you, but I'm feeling myself more of a Grisabella these days.
Oh, wait, yes.
Changing your answer.
No. I am changing my answer, but it's not to Grisabella. Oh. I want to be Jenny Anydots.
Oh, there you go. That's a good comedy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I like that. And I don't think she has to dance that much. See, I'm at the place in my career now where I like to, it's like more bang for your buck. You know what I mean? I like to come on, not work too hard, and then go sit in the dressing room and do my crossword puzzles.
Are all those potential employers out there? We hope they heard that. You know, this is what you're going to work with here. But no, Grisabella, I kind of feel like I have been her late. Like when Bert Vivant sends me to these young professionals networking events, you know, and I kind of come in and all the cats scatter, you know. That's so I've actually been playing, right? That's me going into the.
Fantastic.
But we'll make a note of it.
Have you seen the Hamilton?
No, but, you know, people are wild about it. And I went on iTunes and I started listening to some of the songs.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I'm not feeling
Brian,
it.
Brian, you're
not
killing me right
it.
Now. Keep drinking.
Now, again, I have not seen it. And I have not really invested a lot of time in listening to the music. But it almost seems like it's a parody of a musical.
Brian.
I know.
Don't make me walk off your set.
I know. I need to
it's
check
so
it out.
Good.
So you have seen it.
I have seen it, and I also work out to Act One.
Mm.
It's really good.
Is Act Two kind of a downer?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm.
A little bit.
Now, you strike me as someone who does have their finger on the pulse of a lot that's going on Broadway in New York. And you have, I feel that we're maybe kindred spirits in a way, because you have a fantastic online talk show / cooking show called Broadway Nosh. BroadwayNosh.com. Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And what you do is you do a sort of a cooking show with a Broadway performer.
That's right.
And is it their recipe that they're bringing
it
to
depends.
The show?
It depends. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we collaborate, you know, on what they love. Like my friend Julia Murney, that was her family recipe. My friend Lindsay Mendez, that was her Elphaba meal. That was her favorite meal that she cooked before she went on for Elphaba, you know, because, I mean, that's the key. A little known Broadway actor fact, actually, just it doesn't matter where you are. It's all about how much you eat before the show. Because sometimes those costumes get real tight and there's nothing like singing and dancing and just having it come. It's awful. So you gotta find, you have to experiment. This is a show, Guys and Dolls will be a show like that for me. I have to eat at like 4 o'clock, I'm pretty sure.
So what are you gonna be cooking before Guys and Dolls?
Well, I'll probably go, I think sushi's always a good, you know.
Yeah, not too heavy, but filling.
But filling, exactly. But I have to eat at like 4:30.
Right, right.
I'll probably do like a salad, maybe a chicken, something light, and then I'll like go for it after the show.
It's like cooking with the stars, this show.
And it is.
And we can find it on BroadwayWorld.com as well.
No, Broadway.com.
Broadway.com.
We can find it on Broadway.com.
Very good. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching
it.
In fact, you know, because I love it so much, and you know, we're you know, kind of doing, you know, something in a similar vein here with Berg Vivant, I want to help this. I want to contribute to it.
I
thought the best that I could do, I had my office put together some random names.
Brilliant.
Of Broadway legends, living and deceased.
Okay.
And we're going to just pick a few at random, and then we're going to discuss what we would cook for them.
Okay, fantastic.
Possibly on your show.
I love it.
And why, if maybe there is a particular dish that they embody, and if by chance you ever have the opportunity to cook with one of these Broadway legends,
we'll have it ready.
You're going to be prepared.
I love
Are
it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I will let you choose the first name.
Here.
Who do we have?
Harvey Fierstein.
Okay, what would you cook with Harvey Fierstein?
Oh, I feel like we'd have to barbecue for a smoky voice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we'll barbecue.
I think whatever it would be, it would have to be something meticulous with a lot of steps, because I'd want to hear him talking about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, exactly. Oh, so something like a Thomas Kettle recipe that's like 102
steps.
Chop the mint,
very, very picky yoon. What is something that's so labor-intensive in the kitchen?
What is something? So how about like a cassoulet? I mean, you've got your duck, you get your sausage, you got your chicken.
And
your
I can hear,
chicken.
You got your duck, you got your sausage.
Exactly,
okay, that's it.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
know what we're making with Harvey
Fierstein.
Done. All right. Who's
All right,
next
you
up?
Pick,
oh,
you
me?
Pick.
Okay. Let's do Carol Channing.
Oh my God.
What would you cook for Carol Channing?
I think like a lemon meringue pie, and I'll tell you why. I saw her when I was in college. She came back with Hello Dolly.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, and I wish I could stand, but she shenanigans. She turned off the stage in this giant dress. I mean, amazing. How old is she? Was she at that point? You know, and she with, you know, her hands right here, turn, just spinning off the stage. And I feel like a lemon meringue pie just sort of encapsulates that, like, fluffy, it encapsulates like the dress that I saw her in. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, whenever I'd be out with friends to eat at a restaurant, sometimes we'd play this game to entertain each other, and it would be read the menu as Carol Channing. So what I would cook with Carol Channing would be directly related to things that I'd like to hear her say.
Of
you know,
course.
Like tortilla, or you know.
Wait. Speaking of tortilla, do you know that Carol Channing story where somebody over? Oh, it's such a like a urban legend. I don't really know if it exists, but somebody was in the restroom stall beside her and they heard her say, "Corn. When did I eat corn?" So maybe I would cook her a corn dish.
I hope that's not true.
Why? I hope it is true.
Well, when I ask her corn or flour tortilla and she says corn, please, I'm gonna die and I'm gonna call you up. But it'd be like, oh wait, guacamole is a good. So I think Carol Channing's guacamole
with corn.
Right, with corn on a tortilla.
So we know that she did
Muy bueno. Yes. All right. Take
amazing.
A sip. Take a
okay,
sip,
yeah,
and then you're
you.
Up. Super good.
I love this martini. Okay. Oh God, my instinct was there. Bernadette Peters.
That was a good Bernadette.
Thank you, George. That's what I know. That's the only thing I can say like her. Oh God, Bernadette Peters. Her skin is so flawless. So I want something very white and creamy, like a cream of cauliflower soup.
Ah, that's a good one.
Is that weird?
No, and I think that would be relatively, I mean, there's enough work, that would be a good episode.
Yeah.
Because you've got to,
Are you kidding me?
You know, blend it and things like that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all about the steps.
I think it'd be funny if she came on your show and just had a recipe for just something, just because she is so pristine and beautiful, just like laden with like grease and like bacon
like
and butter.
Chicken, yeah. That would be awesome.
I use a lot of grease. I can't do it as well as you can.
I use a lot of grease.
Right. And you'd just be shocked that Bernadette Peters would eat this, let alone cook it for somebody.
Because she's also like this big.
Right. So this is like her guilty pleasure that she
that
does once a year.
Amazing.
It's that meal that she makes. It's like a burger that's like triple stacked. Oh my God. Okay,
yes,
good.
Please. Okay.
We're on a roll here.
All right,
we got three more.
Okay, it's your turn.
My turn.
It's your turn.
Elaine Stritch.
Oh, God.
What are we cooking for?
I think we're cooking for Elaine Stritch right now.
Right.
I think we've cooked it.
It would have to be something maybe like rum cake or something.
Oh, that's
something
good. That. I
Although,
like that.
I think Elaine is diabetic, though.
Yes, she is.
I saw that there was a documentary about her recently. I don't know if you saw it. It's called Just Shoot Me. It's wonderful. And she would, I think, be drinking orange juice at like different times of the
yeah.
day. So I think maybe something that was nourishing but had a little alcohol. I think it would be a drink recipe
yeah,
for Stritch.
I mean, I literally think
and
a
we
martini.
Call it the Elaine Stritch.
Yeah, the ladies from lunch.
Easy. Yes,
done
the ladies
done.
Who drink at lunch.
Yes, exactly.
All right, okay, we got two more.
Meow. Liza Minnelli. I believe it's the same.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, with maybe, never mind.
Oh, a pill?
A pill inside of it. Is that terrible?
That's a,
I love you, Liza.
It can be a candy pill. No, she's beyond that. We do love
she
you,
is,
Liza.
She is,
you know?
She is.
I think...
What? You know...
How about something... I think it can't be complicated. Because...
No, I'm thinking...
I see you.
I know, I'm thinking Foxy.
You're channeling it. You're channeling Liza.
I'm giving you like a... It has to be something simple with like a splash.
Yeah, I like that. A little pop, a little pizzazz.
Yeah,
something tangy.
I like that.
Are we thinking Mediterranean, maybe?
Oh, I like that. Perhaps like a what's streamlined and like fabulous? I'm terrible right now.
Yeah, but easy, though. You know, because I see her just not wanting to fuss.
Yes.
Her advice being, you just put this in a crock pot and then you have a party. You know, because she's going to be entertaining.
That's
and I see
right.
the hands going, so I think not labor intensive.
Yes, yes, like a lime chicken.
Yes, chicken.
And we'll just like, you know, how about this? How about a chicken that like a crock pot chicken, and then you just like shave truffles over it.
Right, it's elegant, but it's so easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I still love it.
Exactly.
Papa loved it. Mama loved it. It's wonderful. It's great. I need to work on my lies. All right, last one. Ethel Merman.
Oh well, it has to be giant and loud. I mean, I think of like. Just like a giant, like three-tiered wedding cake or something. Not even a wedding cake, just like a. You
that's
know,
a good one.
A
so,
giant chocolate three-tiered cake.
That's like your Valentine's episode. You have Ethel
yeah.
Merman on now.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I think we're on the same line as big. You know, I'm thinking like a roast, some kind
oh,
of.
Oh, I
roast.
Love that.
Because you know when you make a roast, it's like declaring war. You know, people better come and eat this. And I kind of feel the same way about an Ethel Merman performance. You know, it's such
you're gonna eat it and you're gonna like
right,
it.
It's such an assault in some ways, but it's like one that you're happy to be assaulted by. Does that make any sense?
You win that one. You win that one. Yes.
I think we're tied.
I think
because these are some great recommendations. And
yay.
If Ethel Merman should ever show up on your show,
you
are absolutely 100% prepared.
I love it.
So we are looking. Looking forward to seeing you in Guys
oh
and
my God,
Dolls
I'm so excited.
Here at Pittsburgh Public
yeah.
playing Miss Adelaide.
Yes, sir.
And you have played her once before, I
just
believe.
Just once, yeah? Yes. I played her in Cleveland. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. I know.
Oh, is that a sports thing?
It like, must be.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Nor do I, but I'll take your word for it. But no, we're thrilled to have you here. What do you feel is so enduring about a show like Guys and Dolls?
Well... You've got an incredible book, you've got incredible music, and you have these characters that are so vibrant and so fleshed out. It, to me, it is the epitome of the all-American musical. Mm. I mean, it's the epitome of musical theater, I think. That's my assessment. What's yours?
Why it's endured?
Yeah.
well, I think really because a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
You know,
that,
I mean
that also helps.
But no, you hit an important point there. It's an American musical, and the musical I think is one of those art forms that really was born here in America. Not
yeah.
a lot is original to America.
I know.
We've imported opera.
You've got jazz, and you've got musical theater.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, and I think it was one that really made its mark in those early days.
And that's what
they call it a classic.
I know, and the language of it is so fun. And the music.
Mm-hmm.
How many hits do you have out of Guys and Dolls? You sit down, you rock and roll, Luck Be a Lady.
Yep.
You know
it even if you,
if
you
I
don't
were
know
a bell.
It.
Exactly.
And it helps that you know some singers have made a fame, like Frank Sinatra with Luck Be
of
a Lady.
Course.
Gets it out there.
Of
into
course,
the...
My Time of Day, that's another one.
So, directed by Ted Pappas.
Yes.
How is it working with T-Pap?
He's... and I'm not blowing smoke up the Pittsburgh Public's
back door.
But Ted is honestly one of the best directors I've ever worked with, because he takes everything apart and it's so logical, and it's such a joy to have the connection. So often our rehearsal time is so limited, you know what I mean? That and also Ted just takes such care with every moment, and it's really a joy and a pleasure to come to work every day. I mean, I've played this part before. This time I'm doing it is completely different.
Oh, and you've got great company, wonderful cast.
Amazing company. Like, these people, I sit in rehearsal and I'm just like, holy crap, I'm so honored to be here.
Dana Griffith and I went to college together.
Shut the front door!
She is one of my favorite people in the universe.
She's fantastic.
Is. Please tell her I said hello.
Hi, Dana!
Yeah, she's been a guest
on
this show.
He says hi!
Yeah, she was a guest on this show last year.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, wait, now, I've almost forgotten, but you have worn some very special shoes today. We have to show these.
Oh, how do we do this?
Well, you can, yeah.
Look, that's just, here, we'll just take it off.
Well,
look
because
at these shoes.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not getting my legs up on the table,
no,
but yeah.
Because he wore a tuxedo, I had to give you sparkle. I'm giving you sparkle here, I'm giving you sparkle here.
That's I should wear this outfit more often and see what else happens. But no, I appreciate the effort.
You're welcome. I wanted to bring an hors d'oeuvre, but I ran out of time.
Well, no, I know you're busy, you know, so this is why we've treated you to martinis today. You are
best.
A hardworking gal, and, you know, we really wish you all the best.
Thank you, Brian.
Welcome back to Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Cheers on your opening night.
Cheers to you.
Which is January 28th.
Hello.
Running to February 28th.
Yes, sir. Cheers.
All the best.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.